This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
After 6 p.m. and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from the WVUA FM studio, 90.7 The Capstone, on the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. I'm BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show. In case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, in particular UA students. And you can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 or online at www.wvuafm.ua.edu. And tonight we'll be taking questions, if you have them, via email. So if you have questions, email them to brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and we'll be monitoring that email all night, just in case you have questions for our guest. Let me remind you that this is not a call-in show, so I ask that you don't ask, I mean, that you don't call, excuse me, the station with questions at this time, but you can email us, and I'm going to give you that email address again, brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. And also, if you have ideas for upcoming shows, we only have a few more shows for this semester, and then we'll take a break for the summer, but hopefully we'll be back in the fall. And if you have topics or issues that you think we need to cover, please email us, and I'll try to sporadically give the email address during this show also. I hadn't done a very good job at doing that, so I'll try to get a little bit better at that. Like I said, we only have three more shows after tonight, and one of those shows is perfect timing for the end of the semester because it'll be about how to prioritize for finals, which is a problem for many students. So tune into that. I think that show's coming up on April the 21st. But tonight's show is an issue that many students may not think about or even consider, usually until they run out of money and wonder, where did it go? Tonight's show asks the question, is it financially feasible to eat healthy on a college campus? I don't know. Is it? We have three guests on the show tonight to discuss the topic. Sheena Gregg is the Assistant Director for Health Promotion and Wellness, and she's a registered dietitian at the Student Health Center. She helps many students. I call on Sheena a lot. We all do at the Counseling Center to make referrals for students who need help. We've also got Dorothy Beck and Cindy Huggins, who are students in the food and nutrition program, I believe. Dorothy is an undergrad about to graduate, and she's one of my production assistants here on the show. You've probably heard me mention her. And Cindy is a graduate student in food and nutrition, so we'll talk to them the second half of the show. But right now, Sheena, thanks for being on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Can I read you an excerpt? I always like to do research and read some articles so that I at least know a little bit about what I'm talking about.
Of course.
So let me see if I can find this excerpt. I thought it was very interesting and very telling, and now I can't find it. While I'm looking for this article, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in becoming a dietitian.
Sure. You know, it's really funny just to think about my journey to becoming a registered dietitian and the work that I do now. I have served as the campus dietitian since 2009, and there's some kind of pride that goes along with getting to work at your alma mater. And so it's just really nice being able to work at the University of Alabama. I told my mom I always wanted to go into a job that had good job security. And I remember telling my mother my senior year of high school, you know, I don't think people are ever going to stop eating. And that's probably going to be
a good point.
You know, and Alabama certainly doesn't have that problem. So I knew that that would be just a great opportunity.
So did you get your bachelor's degree in food and nutrition?
I did.
I did.
I'm actually a graduate of the food and nutrition program here at the undergraduate level, and mm-hmm. I also got my master's in nutrition here at the university.
I think this program has changed over the years because it seems to me in the last, I've been at the Counseling Center for 10 years, and I've seen it, more students are majoring in food and nutrition. It seems like there's more people interested Do you think that's because of the media influence?
I do. I think, you know, as you see this hyper focus on the quote unquote obesity epidemic and body image, I think it has really empowered folks to want to go into a profession where they can really help people on a personal level.
Yeah.
I think that food is a very emotional and personal thing for people. And I think a lot of students just really want to be part of that process as far as changing the world through helping people with improving their health behaviors.
How, and we're going to get a little bit more into this, but, you know, how have you, as a student and then as a professional, what trends have you seen?
You know, I've seen
in the profession.
In the profession, you know, I've seen a lot of trends in terms of the types of diets that people want to follow. When we see the different types of websites that are out now, things like Pinterest certainly have affected my career.
Which
in terms
I'm addicted to.
Yes, and me too. And so I constantly get patients that come in and say, "Well, I just heard about this diet on Pinterest, or my girlfriend pinned this. What do you think about it?" Versus, "Well, this is what my doctor said." And that's just very telling to know that so many folks are getting their health information on the internet.
Yes.
And it's really changed what we do in our profession, whether we're a registered dietitian, a counselor, I mean, a hairdresser, you know, you get folks
a physician?
That, right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I found what I wanted to read.
Okay, perfect.
So I'm going to read it. And here's the interesting title of the article: Why It's Impossible to Eat Healthy on a College Student Budget, which I disagree with that. But she writes, "The social pressure to be healthy is at an all-time high. There is pressure from the media, the government, and even our peers. Every day there is a new health craze. Recent examples include obsessions with kale, gluten-free everything, and organic diets. Not only are these incredibly difficult to keep up with, but they are difficult to afford."
I agree with that. And I love that you read that, because it really just embodies a lot of the pressures that my students share whenever they come and see me for an appointment. And one of the big things that I really like to focus on is the fact that eating healthy for someone is going to be very individualized, and it's going to look different for every individual based on their personal health goals, the type of lifestyle that they have. And so when they feel pressured by all of these different concepts that are coming out on the internet and other forms of media, or even what their mother or friend told them,
right,
it's a lot of pressure. And it can feel overwhelming to fit in this concept of quote unquote eating healthy.
Why should college students care about what they eat? That's horrible to say, but why should they?
No, you know, that's a great question. One of the things that I emphasize the most to students is that college really is that pivotal time that you're really shaping those long-term lifestyle behaviors that's going to shape your adult life. It's so important to really get hold of those now. And there's so much information in the literature that correlates a sound diet with very good academic performance. I have the pleasure throughout the fall and spring semesters of actually doing guest lectures in the BEP 110 courses that's on study skills.
Uh-huh.
And so we actually talk about brain foods and eating for academic success. So if anything else, you know, if we're thinking about instant gratification, eating healthy is going to lead
yes.
to much better academic performance.
There, you got the hook in right
yes.
there. Hey, I think it's time for a break, and we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back. We're talking about attempts to eat healthy on campus and how you can afford it. And we've got Sheena Gregg, who's the dietitian at the Student Health Center. When we come back, Sheena, I want to talk about some tips for students to eat on a budget, eat healthy on a budget, that is.
We'll do it.
Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Brain Matters. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about, is it possible to eat healthy on a college campus when you're on a budget, when you're on a student budget? And what we left off talking about is, I wanted to ask, Sheena Gregg's my guest tonight, and she's the registered dietitian at the Student Health Center. And I wanted to ask about tips for students. Do you have any tips because I want to get to the guts of this talk. First of all, and one of the things I mentioned in the break is, what if you're on a campus meal plan? I mean, you're stuck on it. You know, there's a lot of students that don't have a choice.
I think you bring up a lot of great points, especially when it comes to the campus meal plan. I have so many students that say, well, it's so hard to eat on a campus meal plan. And I think a lot of that has to do with the mentality of the all you can eat when we go into our various dining halls. And really, one of the biggest things that I stress when I work with patients in my office, I think the biggest pitfall is that our students wait too long to eat. They go go and eat when they are at this animal level of hunger. Yes. You know, I have so many of my students that are in quote-unquote diet mentality, and they think, oh, I'm going to, you know, pick this or that from the restaurant or dining hall, but they let themselves go so long without eating, and by the time they get to the dining hall, they may have had the best intention possible to go to that beautiful salad bar or wait in line in the home style area to get baked chicken and steamed vegetables. But by the time they get to the dining hall, they want something that's convenient because they're extremely hungry, something that has a short line. And a lot of times it's that pizza line. It's one of the first things that you walk into when you go into Lakeside Dining Hall. Mm-hmm. And if you're hungry and the first thing you see is a short line for the pizza, you may get into that. And that's one of the things that I've really noticed as a campus dietitian over the past several years, is that our students want to get in line for the roasted chicken, the vegetables may look great that night, but they are so hungry, they would rather go into the line where they can get a quick hamburger or a quick slice of pizza. So I think it's really almost setting yourself up for failure early on by going into that eating situation a little overly hungry.
What about if you live in a dorm and you don't have a kitchen?
If you're living in the residence hall, one of the programs that I focus when I am doing programs alongside the RAs is actually talking about microwave cooking and how versatile the microwave can be. Ziploc actually makes a reusable steamer bag now where you could buy any brand of frozen vegetable to be able to re-cook things, reheat things. You don't have to buy the special Bird's Eye brand steamer bags. You could buy the generic frozen vegetables and use these reusable steamer bags. They're actually also set up to be able to cook things like chicken and fish. I probably would not reuse it at that point, but to know that you could use that.
We just went food poisoning at my house last weekend, so no.
Right, and one of the plugs that I even like to make for frozen vegetables when you think about the budget aspect is when you think about frozen vegetables being cheaper than some of your fresh produce sometimes. Sometimes your frozen vegetables can actually have more nutrition than your fresh produce because yes, and this is the crazy thing. Frozen produce is flash frozen at its peak level of nutrition, capturing all of the vitamins and minerals. If you're going and getting fresh produce at the grocery store, you'd have no idea how many miles it's traveled from farms in California or Mexico. Or Texas. Mm-hmm. And so by that time, a lot of the nutrition has denatured from that product. Now, if you're buying produce from the farmer's market that's 20 miles away in Coker, Alabama, that's as fresh as you can get. But if you're going to a traditional
table.
Exactly. So, but if you're going to a traditional grocery store where a lot of the produce is outsourced, it may have lost a lot of its nutrition, but frozen produce can be a great option.
So what I hear you saying is you don't have to have a kitchen. As long as you have a microwave, you can still eat healthy.
Oh, goodness, yes.
I mean, because when you say microwave, people automatically think junk food.
Oh, yeah. They think
of fast food.
Yeah, they think of a Hot Pocket or a frozen burrito.
Hot Pocket. What is it? Taquitos?
Uh-huh. No,
is that how you say it?
Yes.
What about, okay, so we're getting a fresh market, which I'm so excited about, the fresh market, right? But it's expensive. Now, all the food is organic and blah, 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 blah. But it is not cheap. I wish we had something like a Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, which we call at my household paycheck. But, you know, because it's expensive. These markets are expensive like this. So, you know, as far as tips go, I heard you say, you know, frozen foods are just as good, if not better, than fresh foods. Because one of the things that drives me nuts, it's such a waste of money, is to buy fresh fruit. And in a matter of 2 days, it's, you know, for a single person, it's hard to keep that fruit fresh.
It is. And so if you have a student that is very interested in purchasing foods organic but doesn't have the paycheck to be able to do that all the time, there is a great resource on the internet. It's the Environmental Working Group, and it gives lists of what's called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. The Dirty Dozen is going to be your various fruits and vegetables that you're really encouraged to buy organic when you can afford it. The Clean 15, you don't necessarily have to purchase organic. It does not have the level of pesticides that other produce has. And basically the concept of it is you want to buy organic produce where you're eating the exterior part that would be exposed to the pesticides. So that could be apples or grapes. For something that has a protective coating like a banana where you're not eating that outside portion, the organic element is not as important. But Dirty Dozen and Clean 15.
And what? How do they look this up? What's the website?
It's the Environmental Working Group.
Okay, so basically just Google that.
Yeah, and again, if you just Google Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen,
it'll come up.
Vegetables, fruits, that'll be one of the top hits that you'll see on Google.
So one of the tips that I found when doing research for this show is share meals with your roommates. Okay, that's a little scary because, you know, I hear a lot of students who live in the residence halls and everybody buys their own separate food. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very territorial, which I would be too. I don't want people messing with my food. And, you know, everybody has a shelf in the refrigerator or in the cabinets. So what do you think about that? Sharing meals with your roommates, like somebody, you know, everybody cooks and it's cheaper that way.
I think there's a lot of advantage to that. I will say that the truth to that is it does take a lot of pre-planning. I emphasize in my appointment so many times to be really strategic with purchases. You want to buy different types of food that you can make multiple meals out of or feed more than one person. Because when we do impulsive shopping at the grocery store, it's usually for a food or a product that would only be good for one meal.
Yes.
And may not really be nutrient dense. But if you're buying a rotisserie chicken that you could get a lot of meals out of, reinvent it into a chicken salad or a chicken soup later on, or feed your other roommates, top it with a salad.
Gosh, I'm so hungry right now.
Yes, you're getting so many meals out of that versus going through the McDonald's drive-thru and getting.
But see, that's the problem I have too, is the convenience of it. To eat healthy does mean you have to prepare. And as busy as students are, or say they are, I think that's really the number one problem that they have.
That's true, but the reality about that is that inconvenience of having to prepare ahead of time can make it so much more convenient throughout the rest of the week. If you're willing,
so it would last.
To carve out a Sunday afternoon to do some planning, knock out that grocery shopping, go ahead and, you know, pre-portion some Tupperware with your meals, that entire week could be defined by convenience.
What do you think about generic versus name brand?
I think that generic is a great option to be cost effective. If you're concerned about the quality of the generic product compared to the name brand, one of the things that you can take a look at is the ingredient list. Ingredients are listed in descending order by weight. So if you're looking at different ingredients, you can compare the generic brand and the name brand and see if some of those ingredients fall in the same order.
Yes.
If those ingredients fall in the same order, they're probably made at the same quality. You know, if you see a food product in the generic one, the ingredients look a little bit questionable compared to the name brand, then that may be a lower quality product. But, you know, we don't really look at the ingredient list enough, and it tells us so many things.
And most people already know this, but it mentions this in the article I was reading is, you know, the name brands are at eye level. This is a marketing strategy, and the generics are either on the top or the bottom.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
It's genius. What about coupons? Do you see many students that actually clip coupons? Not like the crazy lady on TLC.
Well,
you know, those people.
I think the crazy ladies on TLC have inspired our students to do it. I will admit that back in the fall.
Did I just offend you?
No, oh gosh, no.
Are you one of the crazy ladies on TLC?
I took a class from one of the crazy ladies. I am not at that level, but I have seen students embrace coupons, especially when we have the types of grocery stores that are really helpful to that and conducive to that, like Target and Publix. They have their different phone apps, like Cartwheel with Target has made it really helpful for students to be aware mm-hmm. of being a budget shopper. Publix loves to accept coupons. They accept competitor coupons. And as students are becoming more savvy about these purchases, and it's honestly become trendy to do it. So that's helped us also, is for students to want to coupon or save money because it's been trendy. You know, even though that sometimes gets on my nerves, if it gets them to buy food on a budget, yeah, I'm A-okay with that.
To me, it would be kind of fun to see how cheap I could get a decent meal off of a coupon. That would be kind of fun.
Oh yeah, my husband and
I had the time to do yes. that, you know.
We want to compete against each other to see. We'll probably have our own little supermarket sweep one day.
This is what married people do on Friday night, y'all.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
I'm not.
What about advice you would give our students living on campus that, well, I've already asked you that about the hey, one of the things I want to mention to you, you know, when Dorothy came in here, she just took our picture to post on Twitter, and Sheena's Twitter feed, I don't know if I want to give it out, but you're partially Filipino.
That's right.
So talk a little bit about Filipino food. How much Filipino cooking do you do? And is it more healthy than American food? I would guess it would be.
Well, you know, honestly, the country of the Philippines is really interesting because the cuisine is influenced both by the Spanish influence in the 1800s as well as Chinese influence, since it is an Asian country. And so you see a lot of fusion type dishes. They like a lot of pork. They like a lot of white rice. And so when you think about the different genetic factors and family history factors for diabetes, a lot of times Asian Americans can fall into that category of having a higher susceptibility because it's a high fat, high refined carbohydrate diet. There's some vegetables and some seafood, but we like our pork and we like our white rice. And so about 2 years ago, I started a personal nutrition blog called AFilipinoFoodie.com just to be able to merge my love of food and part of my personal life, something a little bit on the side from what I do at the university in terms of being able to share recipes and little anecdotes related to nutrition.
Sure. Okay, so what's your favorite healthy snack?
Honestly, my favorite healthy snack is grapes and smoked Gouda cheese together.
Together?
Well, you know, when you think about cheese and fruit, it just seems so decadent. But then I'm like, hey, I'm getting a fruit serving. I'm getting a nice dairy serving. And it doesn't really fall into the category of traditional snack. But there's something that sounds really adult by saying that, oh, I'm having a nice slice of smoked Gouda cheese in my nice green grapes right here.
Grapes.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have two new guests. Thank you for being on the show,
Thank
Sheena.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, it's so easy to talk to you. You've done this before, and you are great at public speaking, so it's so easy for you to talk about what you're passionate about, too.
Well, thank you.
You know, thank you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're talking, I'm BJ Gunther, I'm the host, and we're talking about eating healthy on a college campus on a budget. Is it possible for students to do that? We've got two more guests tonight. We were just talking to Sheena Gregg, who is the registered dietitian at the Student Health Center, but now we've got Dorothy Beck, and Dorothy is one of my production assistants who helps me here on the show. And then there's Cindy Huggins, who's also Cindy, are you a registered dietitian?
I am.
Okay, a registered mm-hmm. dietitian, but she's also in graduate school.
Yes.
And I wanted to have Cindy and Dorothy on the show to talk about the education that you've gotten with regards to, and being a student also on campus, I want your opinion on what you've seen and what you feel like still, you know, there's been great strides on this campus. I went to school here in the 80s, greatest decade ever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we were very limited. Oh, it was awful for what we could eat on campus. Let's just put it that way. And so now, you know, I look at the dining halls and I just think these students are so spoiled. But it's very hard to eat. I think it's tempting because of what Sheena said, because there's just so many choices. Why not eat, you know, two desserts? I mean, why not? It's like a big buffet.
You're right. At the university, Bama Dining has gone to great strides to improve access to great, healthy, nutritious foods. And I'm still in awe when I walk through dining halls. And I actually got to eat at the New Fresh Foods just a few weeks ago. And like Sheena said, it is a plethora of food in there. And I didn't know where to start. And I was almost a little bit overwhelmed that I actually did want to start at the pizza line because it was right there.
It was right there.
But making my way around, you know, I saw the other fresh foods. I saw the salad bar. You know, I saw, a grill, you know, get some good protein in there. So, yeah. I mean, every time I turn around, I feel as if Bama Dining is doing something a little bit more to promote health.
What about... Now, Dorothy, I have to announce this. I want to congratulate Dorothy on the air because you were named, you got the award last Friday during Honors Day as Outstanding Senior for HES.
Yes.
Give us your acceptance speech.
I don't know if you have those.
I'd like to thank.
Well, I'd like to thank my parents and, you know, all of the people who've supported me.
Hi, Mr. and Ms. Beck.
Through the years,
you raised two great daughters.
Also, the faculty and staff at HES have been absolutely fantastic. They are some of the most dedicated, generally caring individuals I've met throughout my whole entire
and passionate
career.
About their career.
Yes.
That is very true.
You know, and I think that's another reason. I don't know if you guys heard me ask Sheena, why is there more of an interest in the food and nutrition program? Not only is it in the media and you hear about it a lot and there's just an intense interest in eating more healthily, I guess is the word. I just think when you go over and you actually interact with some of the faculty, you're just drawn in.
Mm-hmm. They're very personable, and you can definitely tell when someone cares about you on a personal level and also, like, for your academic success.
Yes.
So. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about, like, what do you think is the number one request for full-time college students in terms of their desires for campus food service?
Well, I actually did a kind of a practicum last summer on this topic of on-campus eating and if it's financially feasible or not, and how this has changed since 2003, so since Dr. Witt was in office.
Yeah, this show was your idea, actually. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And there were several research studies that I read, and one of the most interesting things that I found is that the number one request from full-time college students and when they're looking for on-campus eating options is convenience. So people are going to eat pretty much essentially what is convenient to them.
That's right.
It's that access and convenience together.
Okay. So do you feel like, in your opinion, without rolling anybody under the bus, under the Crimson Ride bus, do you feel like on this campus we are providing that convenience?
I feel like there is a lot of convenience on our campus, and just from my personal experience and some of the data that I've pulled last summer, sometimes I feel as though the convenience is not always the healthiest option. If you're looking at the food court in the Ferguson Center to see how that's been remodeled, it's essentially all fast food, which is convenience, yes, but not necessarily the most healthy options. Sometimes you can order a salad, but when you're there and you want to have that the chicken sandwich right away, it's a lot easier just to get a fried chicken sandwich as opposed to the grilled one.
And sometimes it's quicker, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about literally when you order, they already have it made.
And that's convenience.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I used to order special hamburgers, you know, because I didn't like all that stuff on it. And my mother would be like, this is going to take so long because you're ordering a special, you know, special hamburger, and it did. It always did, but I was a picky eater. Is it possible to eat healthy at fast food places?
I think it is. We just have to be guided that way as college students
convenience, you know, like she said, is key. And I actually ask some of my students today, I'm kind of the instructor of some of the nutrition students, and I ask them, you know, how do you feel about, you know, eating healthy on campus? And the first thing they brought up was the role of convenience, and that they'll go to grab that bag of chips before that fruit cup, just because the fruit cup is so much more expensive than that bag of chips. So I think there are these healthy options available to us on campus. We just maybe need to do a better job relating that to our students, and like Sheena does a wonderful job on campus educating us on what we should be eating and how we should be eating it.
You know, speaking of fast food restaurants, I have noticed in the last few years, and I don't know if this is a requirement, maybe you guys can tell me this, that most fast food restaurants now have posted in the restaurant the nutritional information, like calories and fat. So do you think that's helpful?
Well, actually, research is telling us it's not helpful right now.
Oh, no.
But we are hoping that the more we are educated, the people will know what to do with those numbers. You look at that, and a lot don't know what a calorie is, what, you know, a gram of fat, how that translates to the diet and to health. So I think it goes back once again to educating our consumers and our students about, you know, where our healthy food is and what it's used for in the body.
Yeah. I forgot when we came back from the break, I want to give our email address in case you have questions for our dietitians that we have here tonight. It's brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. So send us questions if you have one, and hopefully we can answer them on the air. Tell us a little bit about your background, Cindy.
Well,
I should have asked you that first, right?
Well, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist. I graduated my undergrad from the university in 2009. I actually entered college as a performing arts major and took a filler class in nutrition and kind of took to it and completely changed my major, and I had to repeat a few things because, you know, the theater students, we take kind of the, you know, the less efforts of classes. So I've been a practicing
students.
Love my theater students. Hey, I was one. I was there. I understand completely. But I've been practicing for the past nearly 5 years, and I decided to up and quit my full-time job to return back and complete my master's degree, simply because it kind of goes back to the love of those in the HES. I mean, I was kind of scared to leave them, and now I'm glad to be back with them, but now I'm about to leave them again.
Are you graduating?
I am. I'm graduating May 1st at 6 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. And Dorothy?
There with you.
You're graduating also at the same time.
Same time.
Oh, same place. Gosh. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So exciting. Do you have any graduation angst? Do you? A little?
A little bit, but I think
there's
that
a hush in the room.
Yeah, there is. It's
we did a show on graduation angst in the job market, last year. So we're not going to do one this year, but I think every at the end of every semester, we probably should do something about that, because at the counseling center, we start seeing, you know, students come in about this time because they're getting so nervous about graduating and where do we
now?
Go? Yeah, kind of.
And I've had those life discussions in the offices at AGS, so they know. We've had many discussions on, so what do I do now?
Yeah, we're kicking you out of the nest. You got to go out into the big bad world.
Right.
Hey, Dorothy, what is a food dessert? And does Tuscaloosa fall into this category?
Well, a food dessert is
oh, dessert.
I was like, ooh, what is this new term?
I read it wrong because I thought, wow, a food dessert. Okay.
Kind of going back to this idea of access, they're basically areas of essentially low income. And there's several different definitions online and in textbooks. But basically, it's one of the standard approaches to defining a food desert is that it includes neighborhoods or areas that do not live within 1 mile, or for some areas, half a mile to the nearest supermarket. And that's typically the urban standard. And for rural areas, it's usually about 10 miles.
Oh, okay. And so does Tuscaloosa fall into this category, do you think?
does not, in my based on what I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong in this one, but I believe a lot of West Alabama areas are food deserts. There's been some research in the past where, like, Perry County has about a 15, almost 16% amount of households that do not have easy access to a supermarket, and that's just below Tuscaloosa. Hale County, which is just below Tuscaloosa County, is about around 11%. And Greene County, which is also below Tuscaloosa, is about 13, almost 14%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I used to, I worked in Carrollton, Alabama for the past few years, and the nearest grocery store was about 5 to 10 miles away. They had a convenience store with convenience food, and they had a Dollar General, so most of my meal plans had to adapt to that.
Yeah.
It was difficult, but it was doable.
A lot of microwavable food,
yes.
Probably, you know. Tell us a little bit about, okay, fact or fiction. Does the freshman 15 really exist?
Well,
or has it gone up to the freshman 30?
Well, I got a little comfortable in my sophomore year.
Oh, yeah.
But
I had that fourth meal at Taco Bell.
I'm pretty sure they've added a couple of more after that fourth meal. But, you know, once again, what their research tells us is that there's no substantial evidence to support the freshman 15.
Really?
You know, I think the students go through a moment of transition, as Sheena touched on before. They're adapting to a new lifestyle, really a culture shock. And so what we're seeing is it does take that first year for them to settle in, and then they start choosing their behaviors and which way they want to go.
And I'm going to talk about something we hadn't touched on here. Alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, too. I think that, talk about how much weight that puts on people. I mean, I know a lot of college students don't care, but when I was reading research for this show, you know, there's like 100 to 150 calories in a bottle of beer or in a beer, and if you're drinking two or three, that adds up.
Sure, you might want to go a little bit more with that two or three, though,
really?
Because it can, you know, from the way that especially college students are progressing with their alcohol consumption these days, it's in a very scary level.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking more towards, you know, the sugary, sweetened beverages, you know, that the girls tend to go to.
Yeah. Fruity drinks.
Yes, fruity drinks. You know, the alcohol, the liquor that is in there, yes, about 150, maybe 300 if they double that, but the amount of sugar and a liqueur that they put in there can really almost triple that drink. I mean, you can consume easily over 1,000 calories in an evening having a couple of, of fruity drinks.
And I think that's what contributes to the freshman 15, even though they're not supposed to be drinking underage. We are not idiots, right? Tell us a little bit, Dorothy, about, you know, you mentioned your senior research project. Tell us a little bit more about that in detail.
Well, it's, as a class, it's NHM 491, and that happens your summer between your junior and your senior year.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the aspects of that is you create your own 5 objectives. And so I worked on campus trying to get a greater look at the university itself and how basically what kind of environment we have when it comes to eating healthy and the different access we have. And one of my objectives is I compared the items you can buy at Lakeside Market to University Publix.
And that's a good idea.
It was a fun little research project. Basically, I looked at 16 different food items and, you know, got the prices that what's being sold for at Lakeside Market, and then also at the University Publix, and also took it one step further to the Northport Publix. So that's a little bit farther away from campus.
Right, right.
So the major premise of that is to see how the different prices change depending on how far away you are from campus. And based on the 16 items I looked at, you saw about a 32% increase from those prices as compared from Lakeside to University Publix.
So it was more expensive. Okay,
at Lakeside.
At Lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And what was really interesting to me is that the fresh fruit that was available, you saw the most dramatic change in that.
It was more expensive.
It was more expensive on campus than it was off campus.
I didn't even know they had fresh fruit there.
It's like the little fruit cups where you can get grapes. And
like she's talking, like
you
were talking
about.
Yeah, and
that is the first thing my students pointed out was the fruit cups.
And a lot of times, a lot of the freshmen we get here do not have cars. So right. They have to purchase, you know, mm-hmm. on campus. Did you have either one of you got an opinion on Bama Cash? Because I know, you know, a lot more places in Tuscaloosa accept Bama Cash.
Yeah, I've so noticed that grocery options. Stores, yes. You know.
I know Winn-Dixie in Northport yes. has the banner up
uh-huh.
now.
I just saw that. Uh-huh. So that, I mean, that's wonderful.
That's a plus.
It gives them, you know, the ability to learn how to shop for themselves
yeah.
and develop that life skill.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives them a more variety to choose those options. So.
Yeah. And, Dorothy, you mentioned about trying to price, I'm curious for my own personal reasons, the Publix on the Strip
yes.
versus the Publix in Northport.
Yes.
Was there any kind of price change in those two? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I compared too. Those two, and it wasn't as dramatic of a price change. It was just a 2% increase, actually 2% decrease, so the one on campus was more expensive than the one in Northport.
Yeah. I can so see that.
But it wasn't
drastic.
It wasn't drastic at all. And one of my favorite learnings from this was that Coke was less expensive than bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And so just my creative
For
mind.
For those of you listening, Coca-Cola.
Yes.
I know. Coke was, say that again.
The bottled soft drink, Coke, was just a single bottle, was less expensive than the bottled water. And so that kind of got me thinking. Yeah. And it's because bottled water is considered a luxury item. So that's
okay,
why
wait,
it's, about,
just a minute.
It's
yeah.
roughly 10 cents more expensive,
wow.
that you'll see.
Wow. A luxury item. Now, I could see Evian or Perrier.
This
but,
is
you know,
regular Sani.
Aqua, whatever. Aquafina,
mm-hmm.
Deer Park. That's the really cheap
yeah.
luxury water. It's the Walmart brand, isn't it? You know, when I lived on campus, the only option I really had, I lived in Tutwiler, and I don't know, have either of you lived on campus?
Not in the dormitories. You know, I lived in the radius.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, Dorothy?
I did not. I've lived on campus.
Well, when you live in a dorm, you know, you are, yes, you might not like the food that much because of the convenience, you'll eat it. But the only place we had to go, and I don't even know if it's still there because I don't make a habit of hanging out at Tutwiler, mm-hmm. but was Julia's, you know, and it was just, oh my gosh, people. It was.
I actually work in Tutwiler now,
oh
so I go to Julia's on the reg.
There's so well,
what is Julia's?
Okay.
It's basically like a mix.
It's where you meet men.
I'm kidding.
It's essentially a mix between like a grocery store, convenience store for the residents who live in Tutwiler.
Okay.
It also has a Boar's Head Deli Bar where you can make sandwiches now.
That's
and
upscale.
A Jamba Juice machine.
Oh.
Jamba Juice
oh.
machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such
yeah.
variety.
Yeah.
Some
they
upgrades.
Had biscuits when I was there. That's basically what I ate is biscuits. So what can you eat healthy at Julia's?
I've been
Boar's
eating
Head?
A lot of the single serve hummus, but I actually had a dilemma today because the single serve hummus is about almost $4. It's, you know, maybe $3.75.
It's not
if
cheap.
I remember.
Mm-mm.
But you can buy just a like an energy bar for 99 cents. So I have that daily dilemma: do I want to spend $4 or $5
yeah.
on a snack, or do I want to spend, you know, maybe $1.09
yeah.
on it? So
it's got to stick to your ribs and get mm-hmm. you through your classes too. You know, I'm gonna ask you. Tell me this. I asked Sheena this, what's your favorite healthy snack?
Oh my gosh, we were just talking about this outside. I have to go straight for peanut butter.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
You have to be careful with the brands you buy, but, I mean, a tablespoon goes a long way. So I have to say, getting some protein in satisfies you. You can eat it with just about anything people
or
have tried.
Just take a spoon.
Yeah, that's
get
it.
The protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I, as a kid, let me tell you how sick I was. I would come home from school and take peanut butter and honey and mix it together on a plate and sit in front of the TV and eat that.
Do you know I
so
added
skinny.
Some maple syrup to mine the
Girl,
other night? Just
good.
A dip, just like maybe a half of a teaspoon.
Oh, my mouth is watering. Dorothy, what's your healthy snack?
I would say as a college student who's constantly on the go, just a banana is great.
Yeah.
It's pretty much essentially already prepackaged and you just kind of,
the ultimate
plus
fast food.
Plus, you can litter.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
I was just like, yes, but maybe not.
It's biodegradable.
Yeah.
But then you also get some fresh fruit, and there's certain requirements for that.
Is Nutella a healthy snack?
No.
Okay.
Let's just leave it there.
Out the window, no. Right there. Let's see. I want to ask Cindy some more. And I want to make sure it's not something I've already asked you. I mean, a few years ago there was... Okay, hold on. A few years ago there was an article. They're giving me cues here to wrap it up, but that's hard for me to do right now, especially when we're talking about food. A few years ago there was an article about in the New York Times about the concept of finite willpower. Does that really exist?
It's very interesting concept. Almost, you know, hard to wrap your head around. But I think what it kind of relates to that we're seeing more and more of in practice and in community is mindful eating. And it really goes back to are you taking the initiative to make the right behavior choices? Are you taking the time to enjoy your food?
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes straight back to convenience. I mean, walking to class, eating your banana, do you really taste it? You know, are you just, you know, you're feeding your body, so yay, that's good. But are you enjoying it? And so I think, you know, with the willpower, you know, it's your initiative. What are you going to do to promote good behavior today?
Yeah, you have to make yourself aware,
is it.
Hey, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is so interesting. Thank you for suggesting this as a topic.
This is great.
And congratulations again. So proud of you.
Thank you.
I got to make a few announcements like I always do. Don't forget our shows are recorded and podcasted, and they're on the Counseling Center website at counseling.ua.edu. And if you want to listen, just click on the Brain Matters icon on our homepage. It'll take you to those shows. It's no secret that many college students spend most of their time on campus stressed out, balancing classes, tests, projects, extracurricular activity, and work is enough to make anyone feel overwhelmed, especially with finals right around the corner. At the Counseling Center, our mission is to help UA students achieve academic success and personal growth through a variety of services. Stress-Free Days, the Counseling Center's signature outreach event, is a stress-zapping solution offered each semester around study week, or basically dead week, that seeks to refresh students and get their minds off the burden of the books. This spring, we'll collaborate again with several wonderful partners to bring UA students a field day of fun. Mark your calendars for Wednesday, April the 22nd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the quad, and we'll have numerous craft projects, wax hand molding, which is my favorite, aromatherapy, field games, tons of free food, and free t-shirts, so lots of giveaways, and like I said, it's all free. Staff from the Counseling Center, including me, will be there, and we'll provide information on how to help with test anxiety and stress. This event has always been a huge success in the past for students looking for a break from studying and an escape from stress, and we are looking forward to another successful stress-free days. I hope the weather cooperates with us because it makes it so much fun when it's out on the quad. As always, I want to thank a few people who've made the show possible. Dr. Lee Keyes, who's our executive director of the Counseling Center, Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media, my production assistants Natalie Beck and Dorothy Beck, and Al Johnson, and my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and my guests tonight, Sheena Gregg, Dorothy Beck, and Cindy Huggins. We'll return next Tuesday with a show. It should be a very interesting show about cultivating creativity. So join us next week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and this has been Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
Counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.